I'm going to read to you this morning a verse, or a portion of a verse. I want you to do me a favor and not Google it or search it to find out where it is. I want you to listen. Now, when I start calling off passages, you're welcome to turn to those, but don't go searching to find out where this original phrase is found. If you go searching, it's possible that you will miss something. And if you miss something, it's very possible that that something is what you needed. Everybody said amen. The phrase that I want to give this morning and consider, the King James says it this way, "Go and do thou likewise." The Amplified said, "Go and do likewise." The American Standard said, "Go and do thou likewise." Weymouth's translation said, "Go and act in the same way." English Standard, "You go and do likewise." The New International Version said, "Go and do likewise." Now, without searching for the context, without looking to see where it's found, does anyone know what the context is? You don't have to answer me. Do you know what the context is of that specific phrase? If you know where what the context is, then you probably know who it is that's speaking that. Does anybody want to give that answer this morning? Without searching, without looking, does anybody want to know who it is that said it? Just who said it? Do you all agree that Jesus is the one that said it? As a matter of fact, Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." We can all agree that it was Jesus as the speaker. Maybe you don't know exactly, maybe you're not certain, maybe you're not as positive about it as Brother Franklin is, where the context is. So let me give you a possibility. Is it possible this morning that the context of that phrase, "Go and do thou likewise," is found somewhere in the story of Jesus when he threw out the money changers from the temple and turned over their tables? John chapter 2 verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money, overthrew their tables and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." Surely the next verse must say, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Go and do thou likewise." Sometimes we like being hard on someone else. Sometimes we think we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, as the insurance advertisement goes. Sometimes we think we know what's going on. Sometimes we think we understand, and sometimes we think we can read another person's motives, and sometimes we even convince ourselves that our perceptions are the same as facts. Really, though, really, I think we all come to the conclusion. I think we all finally come down to the same understanding and the reality, the realization that God is the only one that is all-knowing. I think we all finally come to that conclusion. God is the only one that understands and sees motive. God is the only one that perceives perfectly. No matter how smart we are, no matter how much we think we know, no matter how factual our perceptions might be, Paul records in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12 that we still only see through a glass darkly. That we only see a portion, that we can only see a little bit, that we think we might be able to see a large picture, we might be able to see a grand view, but really we only see such a small bit of what is going on. Sometimes we think surely God or Jesus must be saying to his disciples, go and do thou likewise, when we see something that is wrong in somebody else's life. And we turn over their tables and we upset their cart and we drive them out. Now, maybe sometimes we wish it fit there, but it doesn't fit in that context. Maybe. Let's go to the story of the woman at the well, and maybe that is where it can be found, that Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Surely, verse number 41, or somewhere in that story, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, go and do thou likewise. Makes sense. It makes sense. Some of you are shaking your head no, as though you don't think that's where it goes. He wasn't hard on that woman at all. Matter of fact, it seems as though he was gracious and he was kind, he was compassionate, he was merciful. He was even patient. He was even patient in that circumstance because he allowed her to go back into the city while he had business to attend to. He had things to do, and yet he said, go ahead. He was patient with her. Surely the phrase fits here, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I think he wants us to show love to those who haven't been very successful in relationships. I think that's what we can see here. No, it's not found there that Jesus is telling his disciples to go and do thou likewise, but I think it's something to consider that there's some things there about that story that are good for us to understand. Maybe. Just maybe. Maybe the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery is where the phrase comes from. John chapter 8, verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then said Jesus to his disciples, go and do thou likewise. Do you have your Bible open? Is that the way it goes? Maybe your memory is working. Is that the way that it goes? Surely it fits there. He's teaching us to love the unlovely. He's teaching us to love the despicable. He's teaching us to love even the unholy. The dirty. Maybe even the ugly. He's teaching us that. No, it's not really there, is it? Surely it fits there, but that's not where it's found. I believe that Jesus wants us to act in the same way that he acted and reacted to this particular circumstance or any of these circumstances, but it's not really there. Maybe if we keep searching, maybe we'll find it in the story of Zacchaeus. Little kids know all about the story of Zacchaeus. That's a good story for them to sing about, and they learn it from their childhood, learn it from a very young age, this thing about Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, verse number 2, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. What a crowd. What a crowd. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if any have taken anything, or if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, Go and do thou likewise. Are you with me? Did you turn in your Bibles to that passage? Can you see that phrase, that portion of a verse written at the end of that story? Oh, I believe that he wants us to make restitution. I believe that he wants us to love the sinner. I believe that he wants us to treat others fairly. I mean, he wants us to treat others the way we would like to be treated in everything, in every area of life. Capital print, bold print, in everything, in every area of life. I don't think that we can say it loud enough or emphatically enough. We make so many excuses. So often we make so many excuses for the way we treat others. We make so many excuses for our actions. Oh, there's certainly some things in the story of Zacchaeus that verse fits. Go and do thou likewise. I can almost hear Jesus saying it right there, can't you? No, it's not there. It's not, is it? If you have your Bible open, you can look at it. You don't see it. Maybe. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's look at another story. Luke chapter 10. Maybe this is where it's located. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I wonder if the priest and the Levite knew this man. I wonder if they knew the wounded man. And in their heart, Jesus doesn't tell us this in the story, but there's times that our mind wanders into the imaginative. And I wonder at this point if the priest and the Levite knew him, and they were saying in their heart when they recognized who he was and turned and went on to the other side of the road, said, Ah, it serves him right. Serves him right. He had it come to him. He's not going to get away with this. Karma. No way, no how. Karma is an excellent means of justice. Even if they did know him. Even if they did think that he had it coming to him. Is this? Is this where the phrase fits? Well, if it's here, it sure isn't here because of the actions of the priest or the Levite. Is that right? But if we go just a little bit further to verse number 36, Jesus said, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And the man responded in verse number 37, "He that showed mercy on him." He that showed mercy on him. Now, of the six different translations that I commonly use for comparative study, five of those translations uses the word mercy. One translation adds to the word mercy pity. And one translation uses only the word pity. So four of them strictly use mercy. One of them uses mercy and pity, and another one uses pity. I don't know how the word pity fits in there. I don't know how they got that word pity from their text that they were translating from, but it somehow fits in there. But it seems as though there is a greater agreement that the word mercy is a fitting term, a fitting word, or a description of what Jesus was wanting to get across in this particular story. Mercy. Who is it that stands out above the other two? It's the one who showed mercy. Mercy. Songwriter said, "Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." Another songwriter said, "By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary." Mercy there was great. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy unto him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do that likewise." Of all of the stories that we touched in on this morning, of all of these different things and the attributes or the good points, the suggestions that are written in there, and we do not find Jesus saying specifically, "Go and do thou likewise." But here, when we find out about mercy, we hear him say, "Go and do thou likewise." Now, that kind of stands out as a bit of power to me this morning, as a little bit of emphasis, because there's so many good things in these other stories. There's so many good things in these other passages that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants us to have as attributes or likenesses in our lives flowing from us to people around us. I have no doubt in my mind that that's where it is, that Jesus wants that, but it's specific here. That Jesus wants us to show mercy. Showing mercy in this story came at a cost. It was not an easy task. It was something that took his time, and it took his resources, and it took his energy. It cost him. But Jesus summarizes it, finalizes it by saying, "Go and do the same." There's two applications that we can take home from here. There's two different sides that we can look at from here. The first one is just that we were looking at. Jesus wants us to go and do likewise. He wants us to be that person who loves. He wants us to be that person who pities. He wants us to be that person who shows compassion and mercy and grace and even patience to those that don't deserve it. We understand that. I think we can all grasp that and conclude that that is an application that Jesus wants us to take home from here. The second application may be just a little bit more obscure in the sense that it's not boldly printed, "Go and do thou likewise." But this second application is that if Jesus is calling his followers to that kind of living, and he is, then you and I can be sure that he is that way with our failures, your failures and fumbles. At this point, at this hour, at this very moment, it does not matter how others have treated you because of your failing or your fumbles. All that matters right now is that you know that Jesus is looking at you with compassion. His eyes are eyes of compassion. That his eyes are eyes of mercy. His eyes are looking at you with as eyes of love. If he's calling us to that, you can be sure that he is that. You can be sure that when a person stumbles and a person falls, when a person fumbles the ball, so to speak, in their spiritual life, that if that is you, that Jesus has not turned his back on you, but he is still giving his love and his grace and his mercy to you. You can come to Jesus right here this morning. Or you can come to Jesus in your car on the way home. But I want you to encourage you this morning that if you have failed and you have stumbled, you have fumbled something along the way, you can be sure, and I want to encourage you to come back to Jesus. Let him extend mercy. And let's keep in mind for ourselves that we too show mercy, that we show grace, that we care about the hurting. Let's stand together this morning. Have you stumbled? Have you failed? Have you fumbled along the way, somewhere along the line, and you think that there's no more mercy? Why don't you come to Jesus? Here's an altar where we'll be happy to pray with you if you'd like to step out and come pray. I encourage you to please let us pray with you. Come back to Jesus. He'll fix your brokenness. Let's go and do thou likewise. Living for Jesus. Showing his mercy to those around us. Praise God. Praise God. James Tedrow, would you dismiss us in prayer?